that virtues change, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine.
Hello, it is Sunday the 20th of November, it's 8:05 and you're listening to Squabblebox on Siren FM, and this week we are talking all about new and future technologies. Yeah. I am Maisie Anderson and I'm here with my wonderful co-host Kai Valentine.
Hello Maisie, it's good to be back. We've not been live on Siren FM here for Sunday breakfast in, well, we were pre-recorded last week.
We were pre-recorded last week.
So it's been nearly 2 weeks and not much has gone on since then, has it?
No, no. Any heard any news?
No, no. There was that thing that was going on in America that we were reporting on, but, you know, that's all finished with now. That's all over. That'll... I'm sure we'll talk about that.
I have no idea what you mean, Kai, but let's move on to our first segment of the morning, which is Can You Believe That? And you've got a very interesting one for us this morning.
Yes, Can You Believe That is a segment where we ask, can you believe that a new story or something cool has happened this week? And today we ask, can you believe that last night was the premiere of the wonderful Coca-Cola advert?
Now, what did they do this year, Kai?
They did the exact same thing that they seem to do every year.
That was a proper Pinky in the Brain moment.
Which was just like a truck coming
it was the
down
truck.
With
it was
all
the It's a kind of magic truck.
And I think it's become the iconic moment of, is that, there's a lot of people who believe that once you see the Coca-Cola advert, that means Christmas has begun.
No, it hasn't. It begins when you open the first door of your advent calendar.
Now, this is where I've got something to say, because one of our colleagues here at Siren FM, I was baffled when I found this out yesterday. I won't name any names, but...
As you should not.
He has an advent calendar that he's opening at the minute, right?
I just
saw
for
him
fun.
Opening... No, he's counting down to December, to when he can then have his December advent calendar.
But the only problem then is that you've still got... I mean, some advent calendars stop at 24, others go on to 25, and then you get another, like, mini present on Christmas. But then what do you do for the next 5 days of November?
I really don't
That's
know.
Good. Unless you start 5 days late, that makes the most sense.
But then it'd be really, really...
Yeah, then you'd get really lost.
I wouldn't be able
unless
to
you
that.
Can't count up to 25, but and then I think you're fine.
But he's probably a seasoned counter down.
So. If this is something they do every year, then more power to you, because that's quite impressive.
And the thing that he said about it was, he said that it was actually... He said, but I don't see what the problem is. Advent calendars are healthy, because all you need to... Because all you're doing is you're eating a small bit of chocolate every day.
If that's the only chocolate or sweet that you're having that day.
And I said to him, no, unnamed colleague.
I'm starting to get a feeling I know which colleague this is.
That would be healthy, but we've just ordered a pizza from the local takeaway.
Not to eat at Siren FM.
So that's not... So that doesn't make sense at all. Oh, but we
well, actually, apparently eating, and I know that most advent calendars don't use this, but eating 2 pieces of dark chocolate before you go to bed can be quite good for your digestion.
I have heard that.
I think it's your half digestion, half metabolism.
I don't know whether it's true.
Do you have a paper calendar or a chocolate calendar?
I have a... I haven't had a calendar for a couple of years.
Have you not?
No, because I'm 20 years old, Maisie.
I'm getting you a calendar this year. It'll be a cheap one, but I'll get you one.
But I haven't had a calendar for a couple of years, but I used to love having the chocolate ones. I always needed to have, like, because I was really sort of picky about my chocolate in that I didn't like the really, really... I didn't like the really basic kind of chocolate ones. You know, well, the ones with the... I'm the sort of person where I didn't like the chocolate that was inside the ones with... You know when they had, like, the Simpsons
on
the
front of them? The licensing on the box is more important than the chocolate.
Yeah,
which is why the ones that are actually made by chocolate companies tend to be the best, yeah. But no, this is an interesting thing, because I don't particularly like chocolate advent calendars. I'd much prefer to have a picture one.
Yeah.
Because the chocolate calendars are so fussy, because you have to open the door, then you have to rip the tin foil, and then, like, it's good for the first few days, but then the further along you get, it becomes less and less attractive to look at, because essentially what you've got is a bit of plastic in a cardboard box with foil around it that's then also got little holes taken out of it. And even if they put a picture on the other side so that you kind of revealing a picture as you open it, you can't see the picture because the little plastic tray is all chocolatey. Whereas every year my grandma sends me and my sister a little picture advent calendar, normally on cards, because you don't tend to find them that easily with just regular advent. And I like the little picture ones because you get a little picture every day.
When it comes to the chocolate ones, the end of the world for me is when the chocolate falls down. Now, have you had this situation?
Yeah, no, I've had it because we used to have our advent, when I did have chocolate ones as a kid, we used to have our advents like on top of the fireplace. But the fireplace, to no fault of anyone who cleans the house, gets dusty really quickly because it's like old tiles. Yeah. With lots of little cracks in them, and that space would get really dusty. So if you opened it on top over the fire and it slipped out, you couldn't eat it because it would get covered in dust immediately. And sometimes if we'd been using the fire, which normally in around about November, December you do, then yeah, it was gross.
No, what I mean, I didn't actually mean that. I meant when the chocolate falls
inside,
and then they all fall into one another at the bottom of the thing, and then you'll open it up, and you'll go, oh, wow, it's the 23rd, and you'll open it up, and it won't be there, and you'll go, where is my chocolate?
Well, here's an interesting thing you've just reminded me of. I was once given an advent calendar for my birthday, which is early November.
That's a bit of a cop-out gift.
You know how in high school everyone went through that, oh my God, I'm so random phase? For my birthday, this guy, he was one of my best friends, and he got me... Me and my friend have the same birthday, so we had a joint birthday party at Laser Zone, because we were cool when we were 16. And he got both of us the same thing. He got us an advent calendar, a nice sort of scarf and glove set each. And then he also wrapped up for us, because he'd done this for both of us. He'd basically given us back a CD each that he'd borrowed.
Okay.
He'd borrowed a CD off both of us at some point earlier in the year and forgotten to give it back. So he'd wrapped them so that he would remember to give them back. So I got my own Avril Lavigne CD back on my birthday, as well as an advent calendar and a pair of gloves and scarf, which I still have.
That's amazing. I do like that the emphasis there was on he was your best friend.
Oh, no, we're still friends,
after
sorry.
After this gift, he wasn't at all. But we were talking about the Coca-Cola truck.
Yeah.
And a lot of people believe that once you see the Coca-Cola truck, that's officially Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that true with you?
No. For me, Christmas is very much 1st of December when you open your advent calendar. Because I really wish I was organised enough to buy Christmas presents in November, October, and have them ready to go when Christmas starts. The only issue is that I really love the atmosphere of going shopping around Christmas time. Like, I know it's kind of like a commercially gimmicky thing, but it still feels nice to like walk into shops when they've got all their lights on, when everything's got music and it all feels, you know, seasonally appropriate. And then you go in and you buy your things, and then you get to go buy the wrapping paper. And then if you're me, you spend absolutely hours wrapping and trying to make it look as good as possible. The thing that's going to make me really upset this year is the fact that my favourite shop during Christmas time is BHS.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
No longer here. I think, are there any BHSs still open?
No,
are they all shut down?
They've all gone now, I believe.
They were my favourite, because I could always find at least something for someone in a BHS.
Yeah.
Because they had their whole section of Christmas stuff ready going from, like, October onwards. And there would always be something there, normally for, like, parents. But I think I bought, like, three... I think I bought each of my... family members something from BHS last year, so now I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I am awful when it comes to buying gifts for Christmas.
You once gave me a present that had been previously rejected by someone else.
That was an additional present.
And then you also got me this is in the same year, and it was lovely, but I can't use it because you got me a secondhand from a charity shop, and we agreed that that's fine. We got each other charity shop gifts
year.
Yeah. That's a fun game to play, actually. Charity shop Christmas. No, I think it's quite fun. Yeah. But you got me a shaker maker, which was where you would make little It's like plaster of Paris molds. You put all plaster of Paris in a mold, and it would come out as like, in the this kit was a Doctor Who one, so it would come out as a TARDIS or a Cyberman or a Dalek. And it came with the plaster. It came with a new tub of plaster of Paris. All of the bits, but it was missing one very key thing, which meant I couldn't use it, which was the lid for the shaker makers. So I couldn't shake them because there was nothing to shake them with.
I know, I did feel bad about that.
No, that was actually quite funny.
But we are your Sunday breakfast team here on Siren 107.3 FM. You're listening to Lincoln's interactive entertainment show, Squabble Box. We're going to be with you until 10 a.m. this morning before we hand you over to the wonderful Tracy Edgers for Sunday Girl. So we're going to be talking about... Maisie, explain what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, this week we are going to be talking about new and future technologies.
Yes, we are. So if you want to get in touch and let us know what you think is coming in the future, or is the future now, get in touch at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabble Box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via our radio player app.
Yes, you can. I did find it funny, Maisie, that... Because this is, for people who don't know, this is actually our 75th episode.
I thought last week was our
75th. No, that was 74.
Really? Because on the podcast website, you put it down as 75.
No, it's 74, definitely. I checked this morning, don't worry.
One of us is wrong.
This is our 75th episode, and we've gone through 75 episodes without you. And you did one of the promotion.
I promoted the show for the first time ever, which is a horrible thing to say, but it's true. I realised that I haven't been doing enough promoting on my half of the team, so I decided that I'd start doing it now.
Amazing put. What could we see in our near future? Or is the future now? Let's squabble about it. Now, how have we got to episode 75 without using the term let's squabble about it?
Because someone else has been in charge of the Facebook page.
And I think that's time to go into our next song. Maisie, what are we heading into?
Well, in appreciations for things of futures past, I think that...
About right.
Anyway, since we're talking about all things infinity and beyond, I have got lined up for a Stargirl by McFly. We'll be right back after this. Hey, I'm looking up for my Stargirl. I guess I'm stuck in this mad world with things that I want to say, but you're a million miles away. And I was afraid when you kissed me on the intergalactic.
Siren 107.3 FM. You're listening to Sunday Breakfast here on Siren FM with the Squabble Box team. My name's Kai Valentine. The lovely Ms. Maisie Anderson is sat across from me, and we are talking all about future technologies this morning. Remember, you can keep getting in touch and letting us know about what future technological advances you see coming in your future or the future of the world. That's really rambly, isn't it?
Just a little bit. Well, the reason I want to talk...
That's got a bit deep.
It's got a bit far. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about this morning was because of something that was brought up to me, I think it was on Friday.
Okay.
Basically, me and my friend were walking out of campus, and a journalism student stopped us and asked if we were in a rush and if we could answer some questions, so we did. And he basically said to us, "Do you know about the new technology building that's being built on campus?" Which I didn't. So he enlightened me, and he was basically, the whole point of him asking me the questions was about the campus and the fact that we constantly seem to be adapting, and the worries about the university campus dwarfing the city as a whole. But the part that I took out of that was the fact that there's this new building being built, I'm assumingly on the other side of the campus. But what he said to me was that this actual building is going to create new jobs. So I looked into it. And in 2014, which was in July 2014, actually, which was just before we came to university, you and I, Kai.
Yes.
We, the University of Lincoln, won a bid for the Bowl Technology Centre. It was a £7 million. It's a £7 million technology centre, and will create up to 140 new jobs. Not to mention that a number of the projects that will take place there will benefit from £40 million of support from the government's growth deal. Basically, Lincoln, in a couple of years' time, once they finally get this thing built, might be a new hotspot for technology. I mean, we're already, we've already got a really interesting science-type department, because we've got our AI robot.
Yeah.
Who are, apparently, like, most people have met this robot. I've never met this robot.
I've never met this robot either.
I see pictures of this robot, and I've seen pictures of it lighting a torch for a remembrance last year, I think.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've never seen the robot.
No, I've never
really
seen
it.
And you know what? Lincoln is huge for their technology. I mean, here in Lincoln, I nearly said we.
I
did not build this. But Lincoln built the first tank.
We did.
Which I only found out when they started building that on the roundabout by the university.
Yes, there's a 2D sculpture to commemorate it, yeah. Well, this is the other thing. We also have VR is quite a big thing at our university. And there's a whole... there's somewhere in the building. I don't know where. They have VR sets that you can just go and play with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and apparently if you... And I've been told by many of my lecturers, if you ever have the opportunity to experience VR, which is, for people who don't know, virtual reality, it's a gaming system. Most of the time it's used for gaming. And it's a gaming system that... that works with a pair of goggles and a pair of nunchucks, like a Wii remote type thing.
Yeah.
And you play the game directly to your own eyes. And that's been really... That's a technology that's been advancing a lot, is video games and VR. And the reason I'm really interested in VR is because most gaming systems are trying to come up with their own version now. So you already have the sort of original type versions with the Oculus Rift is like well known for being one of the originals. Nintendo actually had their own virtual reality headset. It just didn't work very well because it was very too ahead of its time. But one of the interesting things is that Sony, who own PlayStation, have made their own now, and they've made theirs really focusing on comfort.
All right.
Because they've made it out of material so that it doesn't hurt. Like where the headset goes on your eyes has sort of material so it doesn't hurt. It has enough space so that if you wear glasses, you can wear them and play the thing. Because I think that's a problem for a lot of people. And this like material cover can come off and you can wash it. And it's also, you're supposed to be able to use it with this new phone that Sony are bringing out as well. Oh. So yeah, it's just one of those really interesting things that it's become very marketable.
Yeah, we got a tweet in from Tracy Edges, Sunday Girl, saying that we're talking about AIs and she's far too excited for that Humans is on TV tonight.
Oh, is it back tonight?
I believe so. Well, Tracy's saying it, so it must be true. Are you a fan of Humans?
I haven't started it yet, but I'm really interested by the premise.
Ah.
I do like, because obviously I think we all know that I like my sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, that's really interesting. Humans is an interesting concept because it's an idea that sci-fi has been playing around with a while, is what happens when we make robots and they become sentient and don't need this anymore. And how do we combat that happening?
Right.
But yeah, do we want it to? It's one of those really awkward things.
Do you see one day AIs taking over the world?
But will we not?
I know that's a very deep question for...
will we not in our lifetime, but if it was going to happen, it's going to happen in 2016.
8:27 on a Sunday morning, yeah. on a cold
probably
wintry
one
morning.
Day, but I don't think we're going to see it with our own eyes.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I mean, there's been that story in the news this week that a young girl won a court appeal to be frozen. She was terminally ill and she won a court appeal to be frozen.
Cryogenically frozen.
Chronogenically frozen.
Cryogenically.
Cryogenically.
There you go.
There we go.
What does chronogenically mean?
I don't know. So she won that court appeal, which means that she was allowed to do it. And there was a lot of people arguing on either side as to whether she should be allowed to do it, because one, she's a very young girl, so that means that if in 200 years' time they do find the cure, it might be a bit of a shock to her system if she wakes up. One, she'll be in a different country, because it's being, she's had to be taken over to America, and two, all her family will have
perished.
A lot of her family will have passed away by then.
Yeah.
So she won't recognise anybody in the world, and she won't recognise the world as it is, and she'll be a young child when she does wake up.
Well, she's 14.
Yeah, but still.
No, but you also have to remember she's gone into this situation knowing that.
Yeah, that's
true. So she'll probably be initially surprised. And I think by the time that if we ever get to a point where she can be unfrozen, then when that happens, I'm pretty sure they'll also put measures in place to make sure that the shock doesn't harm her.
Of course. I mean, it's going to be... It gives her hope, which is the best thing about it.
It's really interesting, because this is the sort of thing people have been talking about for years, is why don't we take all of our sick people... Put them, like, store them away until we're ready to deal with it, which is kind of a very lazy way of thinking about it.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a bit like when you go to bed without doing an essay that's due in the next morning and thinking, that's a future me problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same doing that to other generations. It's like, we don't have the cure for this thing now. Okay, well, just leave it for someone else to figure out later down the road.
Yeah, that's true. Before we go to the next song, I've got a little story to tell you, because I've only just remembered it now. It was something that someone was telling me the other day, because we are here based in the University of Lincoln. That's where the Siren FM studio is. And across from us, there's a cafe called The Quad.
Yes, and it's the University Cafe.
And whenever they're open, they have Siren FM playing all day long. They're big fans of Siren FM. And there was an open day here at the university yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our friends works at the cafe there. And one of their colleagues turned around to them and said... Because it was the breakfast show, and they were saying, I think it was Jeff that did the breakfast show yesterday, and they went, Jeff's doing fantastic. We love hearing Jeff. They said the only thing that could make this better is if Squabblebox was on after, because we miss that now because we're not in on a Sunday morning. They said, Squabblebox, that one with Maisie and that guy with the really distinctive accent. Which made me laugh.
I want to know who said that. I know you can't say on air, but I want to know.
I want to know who said it as well. So I'm going to be going over there and having a word with them next time we're up.
Oh, don't be mean.
No, I'm only kidding. We love they're lovely over there at the Quad, and they're always listening. And thank you very much for doing so. But we're going to go into another song now. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
Lately, I've been losing sleep. Dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars. Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. My name's Kai Valentine. I'm here, as always, with Miss Maisie Anderson, your Sunday breakfast team. We're talking all about future technology this morning. We'll also be giving you a weather and travel update in a little bit. I believe there's not much going on the roads, though. I was checking earlier.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's all well and done there, except for the roadworks, which have been going on for ages in Lincoln. But have you noticed, Maisie, I don't know whether you've been down this end of town, you know where the Tesco Express is?
Yeah.
And between Tesco Express and Iceland,
yes,
on the High Street, they've sort of been building around that area, and they've pedestrianised
the road
where,
yeah,
Iceland
had to cut off the road.
Yeah. So that's now pedestrianised, and that building that they knocked down, it's now finished, and it's all looking really, really nice around that area.
Okay, cool.
Just thought I'd
just
add
what,
that in.
Is that all?
Just a little tidbit in there whilst I search for the for the weather update, but we'll give you that in just a little bit.
Mm.
Technology, Maisie.
Yes.
Is there anything else that's coming to mind to you?
Well, when you were just talking about roads then, I just realised that one of the big things that's actually physically happening right now is self-driving cars.
Ah, yes.
Because a lot of people hate the idea and some people absolutely love it, because a lot of people have an issue where human error is one thing, but human error is very different from computer error. And a lot of people do get really worried about the idea of self-driving cars. And at the minute, Google are doing quite big things with self-driving cars, and they're mainly doing it for the elderly. The idea being that they're making these cars so that people who can't drive anymore don't have to rely so much on other people, and give them a little bit more freedom, even if they're not going particularly far distances. And some people absolutely love it and think it's a great idea, and other people get really freaked out. And it's the same idea of sort of man versus machine. So if the car can drive for me, then what will stop it from going off the road? And it's that kind of idea, even though these cars do have a manual override.
Yeah.
For safety reasons, they have to. And there's nothing stopping you from sitting in the driver's seat. And if it makes you feel better, put your hands on the wheel, you know. It's one of those things. And there are actually commercial cars that will drive for you. You're just not really allowed to use them.
So is the rule that you have to, even if you're in this self-driving car, I presume someone has to sit in the driver's seat just in case you have to put it into manual and something goes wrong?
Not necessarily. I think the main thing is, at the minute, because there's such new technologies, there aren't really any laws about self-driving cars. But this is an interesting thing, is there are some brands of car, really expensive brands of car, that you can get, and I know you can get them in America, I'm not sure about the UK, where it is self-driving. It will drive distances via your GPS for you on roads, actual roads. I mean, it also has like self-parking and stuff. But the car itself, I need to look at what make and manufacturer it is. But the thing is that if you do put it into auto drive mode, you've still got to put your hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
That's the one rule. Basically, for the same reason as if it starts to malfunction, manual override. But the thing is that the car itself can sense, and it's a very expensive car, can sense when your hands are and aren't on the wheel. So if you let go of the wheel 3 times while in self-driving mode, it will shut down self-driving. We'll ask you to pull over and turn the car off and on again, and it will disable self-driving for, like, 24 hours.
Now, this is where we can sort of link back to this new pedestrianised area on the High Street, Maisie. It's funny how this has worked out, because there's been a lot of people on Facebook that I've seen over the last few days going, well, you know, the sat nav hasn't caught up to the fact that that area's pedestrianised now, and their sat navs are still telling them to turn right,
yeah,
down the High Street, even though it's not a way that cars, yeah, can go anymore. So, what would happen with self-driving cars? Because sat navs aren't new to they are known for going wrong, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it depends what they're doing it off. I mean, because I don't know much about sat navs, but whenever I'm going somewhere I'm not familiar with, I use Google Maps.
Yes.
Other map services are available. But with Google Maps, like, it will give you multiple options. So it will give you the fastest route, but then it will also give you slightly slower routes. So if your fastest route denies you the says, oh, you have to go down here and you can't,
yeah,
then you can just pick another route. And it's another one of those things where self-driving cars, I think you can put the route in yourself. I think that's another main thing, is that you can tell it which way to go, and it will tell you whether that's whether those roads are available to you, because you might accidentally tell it to turn left on the wrong road.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's
true.
A one way, but it's one of that's another one of those things that needs to get kinked out. And but that's I'm why sure, they're not commercial yet.
I think that in the future, I think it's going to be the next generation that really sort of gets into...
So our children
I think that
might have self-driving cars.
Yeah, I think the people who aren't born yet will be the ones that that want the
self-driving. The ones that are just the glint in your eye.
No, because the reason why I believe that is because, like, we like to think that we're 20 years old and we're like, oh, wow, well, we're really into technology, whereas we might think, a lot of people our age might think that an older generation might be a little bit more, oh, standoff, not really liking that sort of technology,
oh,
not going to accept it.
I don't find that true at all.
I'm not saying that that's true with everyone,
yeah.
But I think some people find it harder to... People find it hard to change.
It can be scary.
You know, yeah. When I first moved from using Windows to using, like, Apple products, I went, whoa, I'm not sure whether I like this change. This is weird. And and you sort of become... And now I'm like, I can't go away from Apple now. And I'm sure that in the future I'll have to.
I mean, that's one of the things where my mum gets... She has these sort of moments of clarity sometimes where she'll look at something that me and my sister are using, say, my iPad. She was really amazed by this iPad I have. Other tablets are available. And because I have an iPad mini, and I asked for specifically for my 18th when they were still quite, like, they were quite cheap because the other models had come out by then. And my mum was amazed by it. And I was showing her how, basically, I was doing this thing on YouTube and I just swiped the video away.
Yeah.
And my mum went, oh, wow. and like, even though she's only in her 40s, so that doesn't, I see that and think that shouldn't be weird to her. She's sort of evolved along with this technology, but she was telling me sort of like, what you've just done, you did it so casually, and that's my future. That's what my sci-fi programs when I was a kid was predicting.
Yeah, and I think that actually the next generation won't have, as computer technology gets more advanced, there'll be less problems. We've grown up with Windows 95, where we go, wow,
Windows 95 was really reliable, though.
And we go, well, and then the future ones where we go, this is just really...
You mean the Windows 10 that's currently not working on my computer?
Yeah, and we know that's... And we go, that's really slow, and things like that. And we go, oh, that's not going to work. And then we think, well, you know what, actually, when those sort of fear of computers not be, because we've grown up with, oh, computers are quite unreliable. When that sort of gets better,
not my computers.
Well, when it gets better, we're gonna grow up with a generation of people thinking, well, actually, computers are really trustworthy, which means that we'll trust them to drive a car.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure there's people who thought,
and this is how the HAL 9000 came about in Space Odyssey. Because the 9000 computers never broke down and never made a mistake. Not until HAL.
Oh, I'm sure we have a wonderful future ahead. I think we should... we'll go into another song, Maisie, then we'll come back and do the weather and travel updates before we head into the news.
That's indeed. We'll be right back after this.
Me.
You're listening to Siren FM. It is 8:49 nearly in the morning, and this is the travel and weather update with Kai Valentine.
Siren FM.
Yes, looking into the travel for today, there are ongoing roadworks on the A57 Lincolnshire both ways between Canwick Road and St Mary Street, Lincoln. That's been ongoing for a while and it's going to be going on for a little bit longer. There's also roadworks on the A57 between the A15 Melville Street, Lincoln City Centre and St Mary Street, Lincoln. Severe and ongoing for the near distant future. There's some ongoing roadworks on the Lincolnshire both ways, B1188 at Moor Lane in Branston as well, so keep an eye out for that and be very, very safe if you're out on the roads today. Looking into the weather for today, highs of 6 degrees and lows of 2 degrees, and the weather forecast says today cold and cloudy with outbreaks of rain, heavy initially and then easing this afternoon, while mostly clearing eastwards. Highest temperatures will go along the coast, but it will feel cold here as it becomes windy later, with a chance of gales developing. Into tonight, dry and clear with spells with clear spells at first, perhaps an odd coastal shower with a slight frost developing, then cloud spreads northwards, temperatures rise slightly and rain reaches southern areas later. We're looking at a sunset at just before 4 o'clock this evening. It's getting very, very dark very, very early, but that's your travel and weather updates here on Siren FM.
Yep, that was the weather. That was the travel.
I think we're getting better at that, Maisie.
I think the fact that I'm not doing it anymore makes it better.
So we are talking all about future technologies here today for Squabblebox Sunday Breakfast on Siren 107.3 FM. We're here till 10 a.m. this morning before we hand over to the wonderful Sunday girl, Tracy Edgers. We'll be on the show. We'll be presenting her show and her quirky question, as always. So, Maisie, we're going to talk more about it after the news, but we'll tell everyone how they can get in touch. You can get in touch at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox,
or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via our radio player app.
Keep sending in your messages, guys. We love hearing from you. And I think it's time to go into our next song, Maisie. What are we heading into?
We are heading into Starman by David Bowie, and we'll be right
love
back
these
after
music
the
choices.
News. Power of Love. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, and we will take any excuse to play The Power of Love here on Sunday Breakfast. Maisie, you love that song, don't you? I love that song.
So we are talking all about technological advances this morning, and that's something that you've tried to interweave with the song choices of today.
I've been trying my hardest. There's an awful lot of songs revolving around the word star.
Yes, except for Shout Out to My Ex, which was on just before the news. That was the auto fade at work, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's because it's about technology.
Yeah,
because they're in a self-driving car in the video.
Is there?
No, I don't think so. But they're singing in a car, so it works.
Because cars are technology, and that's a technology. Yeah, that'll do, Maisie.
Because people, it was the auto fade.
Talking about things that help with travel, that was the weirdest segue ever.
Yeah, it worked. Just carry on. No one noticed.
I've been looking up some technological advances which have happened this year. And Ooh. One that has come to light this year is reusable rockets. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, as people know, rockets are typically destroyed on their maiden voyage as they come back to Earth.
Yes.
You got that bit, yeah?
Yeah.
Because of technological things like it being too fast and setting on fire and crash landing.
Yeah. Yeah, as they do.
We know our science, a drama student and a film and TV student.
That's what most spy movies have taught me.
However, in 2015...
That wasn't this year.
Yeah, I know, but the actual... shh. It was in late 2015.
Yes.
One actually returned and it came down upright and landed on a landing pad.
Wow.
And they basically steadily firing, they steadily fired control to control its descent, almost as if it was a movie of its launch and it was being played backwards. And they're saying that if this can be done regularly and rockets can be refueled over and over again, space flight could become 100 times cheaper.
Well, you know that there's already this whole... space tourism thing that's happening.
Yes, Richard Branson's been behind this a lot with Virgin Travel, and he's wanting to make it so that you can just go off
up into
space.
You can just go visit space for a bit.
Yeah.
Just see the stars.
Would you want to go and visit space?
I kind of would. I'd be too scared. But this is the thing, is one thing that gets talked about a lot is, and with no intention of bringing the situation down, but overpopulation is a huge problem at the minute. And one of the things that people talk about is, are we going to start regulating ourselves so that we don't overpopulate our own Earth? Or are we going to start migrating onto other planets?
What do you think the answer to that is?
It's not impossible, but I just don't know whether... it's one of those situations where you can't... It's very difficult to stop people... like just having more babies.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, China had their ban for many years, and
it
was highly controversial, and making that worldwide would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the only problem is that we're already ruining this planet. I really don't want to go around ruining others.
Yeah, that is a point. Because
the first port of call would be the moon.
Do you think that there will be a time where we live on the moon?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a space station on the moon at some point. Not in our lifetime, but at some point.
Do you not think it could be? Because we seem to have... I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm well-versed in travel to...
Well, have you ever heard about the space elevator?
No. What's this?
They're making an elevator into space.
That's a blatant lie.
No, they are.
No, I will not accept that.
No, look it up.
You did not accept a lot of the things that I was saying. Like, you didn't accept, Maisie, that there was such thing as in the weather report. It feels like...
No, you can't judge by weather by feel. And look it up. Look up space elevator. It's a real thing.
I don't think it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Right, if people... If people want to get in touch, and please tell me that this is not a real thing.
Just look it up.
I will look it up.
Google it now.
I'm not happy. No, we will do it in the next
song,
which is coming up very soon. But you can get in touch.
No, because I want you to find the answer on air.
Oh, right, I'll have a look. Right, so yeah. You find something else to talk about, Maisie. So space.
Space, yes.
Because one of the things about space is that we... The thing about it is, we seem to have dropped back. It was always that race to the moon.
Yeah.
And once we got to the moon, everyone went, well...
Like that you say we as if Britain's the one that did it.
Yeah, or us personally. Squabblebox on the moon, just leave our lovely fancy new logo on a flag on the moon.
Mm.
Just with a sign saying, tune in to Siren FM.
Yeah.
But there was the race to the moon. And now we're sort of in the way of, well, what are we racing to? And a lot of countries went, you know what, we don't have the resources or the money at the minute.
Yeah.
And sort of stepped back from it. But do you see, like we've seen with Tim Peake, he became such a massive, massive deal because he was the first British man on the space station.
Yeah.
And do you think that space travel is going to be something that in the near future we'll be looking into
not,
more?
Not the near future. You keep talking about these things as if they're going to happen in our lifetime. They're really not.
That's why I'm asking
you. This is the thing that I really get annoyed about, especially with science fiction, is that because a lot of science fiction is about speculation. It's about trying to figure out what is possible in our lifetime. And it's really funny looking retrospectively back, because we see things in movies and books and plays that people like Arthur C. Clarke and Philip K. Dick, came up with in the 60s, and expecting them to have happened by like 2012. It's actually quite funny. It's the same with Back to the Future. In their version of 2015, everyone had hoverboards. We had this weird sort of skater grunge fashion going on. We'd be on, the Cubs would win the World Series, which actually did end up happening.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was very interesting.
And then they predicted 3D movies as well. And Jaws, like 19, I think it was.
So I'm Googling about the space elevator now, basically, and I didn't realise that this was a real thing that people were looking into. It's in 2014.
It's based on a book, yeah, but yeah, people want to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, there's a thing here. The latest thing that's been updated, and now this is Wikipedia I am reading from, which, you know, is a very reputable source.
Oh, of course.
Of course. And it says, in 2014, Google's X-Rapids evaluation R&D team began the design of a space elevator, eventually finding that no one had yet manufactured a perfectly formed carbon nanotube strand longer than a metre. They thus decided to put the project in deep freeze and also keep tabs on any advances in carbon nanotube field.
Yeah.
So basically, they need this nanotube to
go
right up to space.
Yeah, they need something that's really strong and durable. So that they can make
an elevator.
Yeah, so they can make an elevator to space.
But currently, we wouldn't even be able to get up to the second floor of this studio.
There isn't a second floor to the studio.
In the MHT building.
Oh, yeah, the second floor of the building.
Yeah, the second floor of this building. You wouldn't be able to get up to the second floor.
No.
Because it's a metre. I could barely get to the top of you, Maisie. It could barely reach the height of you.
How tall do you think a metre is?
I don't know. You're about a metre tall.
No, I'm like...
I'm kidding.
No, shush you. I'm offended.
How many metres are you?
I don't know. I know what I am in feet, but...
You're about 1 metre 50,
I must
think.
Be. I'm definitely not 2 metres.
No. No. No one's 2 metres. Well, there are some people
are 2 metres.
Not many people.
Quite a few.
Well, I'm not, so that means that it's not.
Yeah, well, you're not average, are you?
No,
you're not the average
I'm
height
sure.
of a man.
We're both very, very short people. So you're listening to Siren
107. Yeah, but I'm adorably short. You're just short.
You're listening to Sunday Breakfast, Siren 107.3 FM. If you want to get in touch, you can do on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Keep sending in your messages. We love hearing from you. Where else can they get in touch, Maisie?
They can also get in touch via text on 077 97 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via our radio player app.
Stay tuned to Siren FM.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely, not for very much longer. I've got to keep control.
Let's do it.
107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. Sunday breakfast, we are Squabblebox. Myself, Kai Valentine, and Miss Maisie Anderson are going to be with you for the next 40 minutes or so before we hand over to the wonderful Tracy Edgers for Sunday Girl. She's going to be with you from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. noon this afternoon. We're talking all about technological advances here today on Siren 107.3 FM, and there's lots to talk about. Remember to keep sending in your messages. We love hearing from you. I'm just flicking through about some technological advances that have happened over this past year once again, Maisie. And one thing that I used to love as a kid, and I still love now, to be honest, whenever one of these shops pops up somewhere, you know when you go to these cool tech shops where they have, like, all the weird and one... There's one called Menkind.
Oh, that's not really a tech shop. That's a sort of novelty gadget store.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though, really. I used to love going to these sort of gadget stores where, to be honest, you look in them and you look at them and you go, I will use these things once.
Well, and because we also, as well as Menkind, there's another one that's very similar, which is Hawkins Bazaar, which is more aimed at children. And I have genuinely, as a older than I should have been, just gone in, played with a bunch of stuff, and then walked out again buying nothing.
Yeah.
They must have gotten so used to that, though.
And one of the things that you always see in those shops is, because one of the things is you always trip over them as well. They have, like, the robotic animals walking around and stuff like that. And that's always really, really cool. But there's something here that says that one of the cool little techs that have been announced this year, this was announced at CES 2016, which is, I've never heard of it, but it's actually, it's been tagged the Super Bowl of the gadget world. So it must be a very, very popular event. They have the Chip robotic dog, and it says this seriously cute robotic pet really stole the show. Maker Wowee Robotics calls Chip the ultimate AI robotic dog, and it basically has an AI based personality and will adapt as you play with him. Plus he can recognise you, respond to your commands, play fetch and soccer, and you can also use an app on your mobile device to teach him tricks. Think of him as a playful pup that you won't have to clean up after.
Ooh.
And that's really cool.
Now, my sister had a little robot dog thing. It wasn't particularly advanced because it only had so many things it could do, and its commands were really bad.
Yeah,
because you would tell it to sit, and basically all it heard was a noise. That's all it could register, was like, oh, you've made a loud noise, so the whatever box in its head that could recognize sound just did whatever.
Yeah.
It was just, and it would only have so many things that it could do. But I remember being, like, amazed by it and really jealous that my sister had one and I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I've... Oh, with these sort of gadgets, like I say, it's always been one of those things where I go, oh, I will use it over Christmas and then it'll get put in a box somewhere and then not come out for another...
Yeah.
And it comes out on special occasions when there's family around and stuff, and you just... And then you sort of lose it and you never use it again.
Yeah.
Do you find that with a lot of gadgets?
Kind of. I don't buy too many ridiculous gadgets anyway. I think one thing that I definitely bought and didn't use enough of was a piggy bank that had a code lock on it, but it would also count the money as you put it in.
Oh, right.
And that was pretty cool. But I didn't use it very often because I never had any change.
Yeah, that's true.
So I bought it thinking, oh, that would be a great way to, like, save my money. But all I ever had in change was, like, coppers, which isn't really worth much, even if you've got, like, £18 worth in this jar.
Plus, it tells you how much you've got, so then you're more likely to go and spend it once you see, like, oh, wow, I've got £20 in there.
Kind of, yeah.
But you also have... You do have a robot, because you bought a that robot from Star Trek.
What robot from Star Trek?
Or Star Wars, one of the two.
Oh, you mean BB-8?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I have a BB-8.
I just like winding people up by getting Star Trek and Star
Wars. I hate you when you do that. Yeah, I have a little robotic BB-8. It's cute.
You were telling me that... I remember you telling me that it used to... Because it was voice activated. wasn't it?
Yeah.
So actually, you said it once came over to you once in a morning and surprised. Oh, was it your boyfriend that was telling me this? Basically,
we'd left it on by accident on it because it has two modes. You can either have it on voice recording mode, so if it hears like a loud noise, it'll follow the noise, or at least it'll like start rolling around. But it also by a button. But we had it on the voice command thing and completely forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And somewhere, I think just the sound of getting up in the morning made it go. It was really scary because it was like having a small dog for a little while. But yeah, I have currently taken the batteries out of it because I needed some double A's.
Yeah, I don't blame you. There's another little tech idea that's quite a cool tech advancement here that I think you would like, and that is a sensor-wake alarm clock.
Ooh.
Basically, how it works is because there are all different types of smart clocks around, including the Philips Wake Up Light, which wakes you up with the sunrise.
Oh, I want that
light glow. Or there's the from the Clocky Alarm, which runs away from you.
Mm. I've heard of all of these, yeah.
But this one is the first alarm that uses scent. Which you can probably not recognise with my accent. Scent, as in like smelling. It can wake you up with the smell of coffee, croissants, chocolate, peppermint, or even the smell of the seaside or the jungle.
Here's the thing, though. Would nice smells just would make me more comfortable and probably make me sink into my bed more. I'd much rather have, like, a nasty smell.
I guess it'd... Oh, really? I wouldn't want
it. Like, I wouldn't want it, really, but, like, it would be more effective.
No, but you could wake up. I think it has an alarm on it, too.
Oh, okay, so it's not trying to wake me up with the smell.
But when the alarm goes off, maybe 2 minutes before the alarm goes off,
it starts
using the scent.
Yeah, so that's going to get broken, though, at some point, and it's going to start smelling awful. Like, did you ever get, at, like, Easter, little bunny rabbits that smell of chocolate? They have, like, chocolate smell on them for some reason.
Oh, no.
They're, like, scented. A bit like strawberry shortcakes, the little dolls. Yeah, but my auntie got me and my sister one each. And they smelled really nice and chocolatey for, like, the first 2 weeks. And then they started smelling really bad really quickly.
Ah.
It was awful. Mm. It was pretty bad.
It doesn't sound very nice. Another one. I'm just going to keep listing these
because
these are really
things.
Cool.
They're fun.
We've got half an hour. This would be good for any students who do not have all-inclusive bills. Because this is the Hydra O.
Do you need me to read it out?
Yeah, there's an A in there, and it doesn't seem to fit into an actual word.
It's
Hydrao. So it's like Hydra, but there's a random
Hydra
A in the middle. Hydra, possibly Hydra. Right, fair enough. We'll go with Hydra. the Hydra Smart Showerhead, and this is a showerhead which changes colour. To tell you how much water you've used.
Okay.
So it's basically for people who are trying not to get their water bills too high, and it'll basically change colour and you'll go, oh, that means I need to get out because I'm conserving water. And it'll tell you how much you've used that month as well. And
that's pretty cool.
Pretty
so it's
cool
like
idea.
A boiler reading.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I actually had, as a kid, I had a toothbrush that would... that had a light on it, and it would like have a flashy light for 2 minutes, and it was basically before you start brushing your teeth, you do the light, and then when it finishes, that's when you've brushed your teeth for long enough. And it was basically a kid's one,
right.
And it was basically so that kids didn't overdo it, and because it's quite dangerous to A, swallow too much toothpaste, and B, to brush your teeth so much that you actually end up damaging your gums.
You see, that was always the opposite that I was told as a kid, because I was always told that I was given like a little, really classic technology here, an egg timer.
Yeah, I know that if you, like, because you had braces for a while.
And you meant to brush your teeth for 4 minutes, I was always told by the dentist.
Maybe it was 4 minutes long, but I just remember it flashing and then I'd stop brushing my teeth when it finished.
Yeah.
That might not have even been the point of it. It might have just been a flashy toothbrush.
I'd laugh if it were... all these years you've
been
thinking.
A bit like when you get shoes that light up, so like you just assume that you have to stop walking when the lights turn out.
Tracy has got in touch and said, at Squabblebox, I love my robot vacuum. You press a button on and off. You press a button and off it goes.
Yeah.
She says, I call it Robbie, as I love Lost in Space.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, that's a Rumba. I think other brands are available. I don't think it's just Rumba who make them. But yeah, I like the idea of it. And I think they only work on hardwood floors.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them working on carpet very well.
That does sound really, really cool. Because I'd love that. Especially if you've got... No, it might work on carpet. Get in touch, Tracy. Let us know.
Yeah, I want to know if it works on carpet or not.
And how much are these? Because we might want one.
In our kitchen, we need one because it's one of those things where having such a small... Even though it's a small kitchen, I think the fact it's small, it looks dirtier than it is.
Yeah.
Because you end up... There's only so many places that the dust can go, so it piles quicker.
Do you have any cool tech in your home? Get in touch and let us know at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page, Squabblebox.
Or you can text in on 07797 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Stay tuned to SirenFM.
Lately it's hard to let you know that I'll never learn. I am explosive and volatile, I'm on the turn. It's time to squirm back into the wall. My cage spell is contents on the floor. My grave concerns I can't ignore the past. I'll look into the future, make it last. I'm never gonna sleep again. I'll never learn. I am explosive and volatile. I'm on the charm. That'll never learn.
Siren 107.3 FM. We are your Sunday breakfast team, Squabblebox. We're talking all about future technology here today on Siren 107.3 FM. We are your Sunday breakfast team. We're going to be with you for the next 25 minutes or so before we head over to Sunday Girl with Tracy Edgers. Now, we're talking about future technology, Maisie. Mm-hmm. There's another one that's on this list that I believe that you would absolutely love, and this was announced at CES 2016, and it's the Sleep Number It bed. Basically it's saying we all love a great night's sleep, and Sleep Number beds already help you get one with mattresses that offer adjustable firmness for both sides of the bed.
Oh, wow.
It says the new It bed adds a host of high-tech features to the package, with biometric sensors to measure your sleeping patterns, including heart rate and breathing, as well as a companion app that offers recommendations to get a better night's sleep.
Oh, wow.
Like ideal mattress firmness and room temperature. Maisie's looking at it going, I need this.
Why do you keep giving me all of the sleepy ones?
Because you always, you've come down and you've gone, I don't like my mattress here. Or
no, I've gotten over that now. Okay. I flipped it and it was fine.
All right, that's
better all
then.
That's all you really need to do. If your mattress starts hurting, try flipping it before you start complaining.
How long was it that you were complaining before you decided to flip
it? It was a brand new mattress. The company that we rent from had changed the beds upstairs, so they were all brand new, and it was because it was new, it took a long time to break in.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm so little. I was only breaking in like one spot at a time. But I flipped it over and it was fine. I think it just needed a bit of moving around to sort of loosen the springs up or something. I don't know how mattresses work.
Well, that's good. So we're talking about technology, and one thing that has been a massive technological advancement is the idea that everything seems to be coming, and now this is where I sound like an old man, everything seems to be coming smart these days.
Yeah, a lot of companies have started adding the word smart to things without there actually being... I don't know if there's an actual, like, illegality to what you can consider smart or not, because smart suggests in, like, it's got its own sense of intelligence, like it's sentient.
Do you own anything that... What do you own that's smart?
Smart TV.
Yes.
We have a smart TV, and I love it.
We were extremely lucky in that, because we are living in student accommodation, and our TV broke, basically, a month or two ago.
Yeah, that was supposedly a smart TV as well.
That wasn't a smart TV, that was just a big TV. It was just a big TV.
That's the problem. I get confused between big and smart.
Yeah, and... the idea with this TV, the thing that happened with it was that the volume was turning up to on its own to level 100
which
is not good, and it eventually got stuck on 100. And I remember mentioning it to the landlord and going, "Oh, it's stuck on 100." And they go, "Yeah, but is it still usable?" And you go, "No,
not without disturbing the neighbours from about, like, five doors down.
Or breaking our ears.
Yeah.
So we were quite adamant that, yes, we needed a new TV, and then just one day, out of the blue...
Yeah, we just had a man at the door, because you weren't here. You were on holiday at this point.
I was.
And a man just turned up at the door, right as I was about to leave as well, to go to university, and a man just turned up with a TV and going, "I came in yesterday to check, so I brought you a new one."
Yeah.
Is what he basically said. So he just came in with this box really casually, as if we were expecting him. And it was like Christmas, we got a new TV, and it's fab, because it's got two buttons. The two of my most favourite buttons in the world have now become the two buttons on the remote.
Which are?
The YouTube button and the Netflix button.
Is there a YouTube button on the
remote?
There's
a YouTube button on the remote.
I noticed the Netflix one, but
the Netflix one's big on top. But no, there's a YouTube one right underneath the arrow keys.
This shows how little I've used the television since I've been...
True. That's the thing. Ever since you've come back, you've been catching up on Coronation Street, but it just so happened that every time you put Coronation Street on, I was walking past, or it was like in the evening when I was about to make dinner. So I got to the point where I saw it on the telly. Like, we used the telly all day, and I saw it on the telly about three times in a row. And I got so fed up.
You're always watching Coronation Street.
Why have you always got Coronation Street on?
I barely watch the television.
I know. It was one of the times you'd only just put it on.
I know. So you like the smart TV?
I love the smart TV. As long as it works. Like, I've seen in years gone by, I've seen smart TVs that were supposedly supposed to do the same things, but not nearly as sophisticatedly as TVs can now.
Yes.
So...
I mean, my granddad, I've mentioned it on the show before, my granddad is a big fan of the YouTube, and he loves watching it on the television. Mm. And, like, he's always coming to me, "God, I've been watching this on YouTube," and, like, when we used to make YouTube videos, which are no longer online, thank goodness.
Don't even tell people they exist.
When we used to make YouTube videos, they'd watch them on there, and it's cool that, like, he's discovered it, and he's, like, he can find anything that he wants on YouTube, and he's finding, like, videos of old. He was watching a comedian on YouTube. I've forgotten who he was watching.
Bootlegged stand-up is on a lot, YouTube a lot.
From the 80s.
This is a thing that Ed Byrne was saying was like his first tour DVDs didn't sell very well.
Yeah,
and he likes to blame the fact that that his DVD was copied onto YouTube in 9 small parts because it was done before YouTube had the capability to post over a certain amount.
Yeah.
They used to only let you do 15 minutes max. So his first ever like live show that was on DVD was bootlegged and put onto YouTube, and he would complain about it, but he needs the excuse for the bad sales.
Yeah, I think that's true. That I mean, I we'd never recommend anyone.
Oh no, we don't recommend ever getting anything
from YouTube
that's not supposed to be on there. Yeah.
But to be honest, they do quite a good job of keeping on top of it nowadays.
The only problem is that if you flag if you flag a YouTube video for obscene scenes or scenes of excessive graphical nature, then someone at the YouTube company, it's their job to watch the entire thing through to check to see whether this statement is true.
Really?
Now, this is the thing. People sometimes purposely do it on really annoying videos, like the 10-hour-long Nyan Cat video.
All right.
Someone flagged it for nudity so that they, because they knew that someone at YouTube would have to watch the full 10 hours.
Oh, no, that's really
That was
mean.
Someone's job for the day, was watching a video for 10 hours on loop.
That's really mean. That.
It's so I mean, we don't recommend you do it, but gosh, it's hilarious.
I mean, I would like, when it comes to like, if I worked at YouTube and that was my job, I'd just be there going, well, I haven't caught up on the wrestling yet from the night before, so I'll just, you know, flag those videos.
No, you can't do that. Because you don't know who's... There's more than one person working in that department,
yeah,
so it would go to other people.
Yeah. I don't believe there's just one person overseeing the entire of YouTube.
No, things get flagged a lot on YouTube, I think.
I can imagine.
But this is the thing, like... people who are actually famous on YouTube, sometimes referred to by academics as micro-celebrities.
Yes.
People who've made a living for themselves online. There was this really cool thing where there were these three female comedians and they made a movie together, a proper full-budget movie. And one of the... and the thing is that they weren't going to put it on YouTube because this was before YouTube Red and things, and when you could actually put stuff on and you could get paid to put it there. So they did it there through a different streaming service, through their website. And one of the really cool things was is that their fan base is so loyal that they actually had a whole bunch of them started calling themselves the Flag Patrol. And if they saw that someone had bootlegged it and put it on YouTube, it would get shut down immediately because so many people would flag it as soon as they saw it for copyright.
Yeah.
Which was really sweet, I thought, that people were so... Like, no, these women deserve to get paid properly for this. They put so much money and effort into it. Let's try and, like, cut it out, which is really sweet.
Yeah, I do. YouTube as a platform, and like we mentioned about, like, social media as well, the idea behind it that it's taken off so much that it is a technological advancement in itself.
The fact that it's become a viable business option is so weird.
Like, they've been doing this... there's been this campaign going around on YouTube at the moment where YouTube have been getting their minor celebrities that have... And YouTube
they're not minor,
stars,
they're micro.
Micro celebrities, sorry.
Made for you.
Made for you, yeah. Because this is something... One of the only YouTubers that I seem to watch, Emma Blackery.
Yeah.
She did a video recently where she'd been given this made for you... thing, and they said you can accept it in any way that you want and make a video about it. And she decided to make a video where she brought back a segment that she used to do a while ago that her fans have been wanting her to bring back for a long time. So she did that, but she also made this joke the whole way through, because she is famous for making her very famous video is a song about Google Plus, which owns YouTube, and was not very
complimentary.
A bit unflattering. And she basically said, "I'm really surprised that I got this award even after this." And she started playing the first two chords, and then she went, "No, I best not play that on here." Whilst accepting it.
I like the fact that Google wasn't petty about it.
Oh, definitely not.
But that's an interesting, because the University of Lincoln is quite well, is one of the media departments quite well known for three particular micro celebrities, which is Jack and Dean.
Yes.
And Tomska. And they, I think Tomska definitely has his own bus with this advertising on. And his is making the new wave. The new wave, that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jack and Dean have one.
I know that Emma Blackery has a bus.
Yeah, that's a weird... YouTubers are on buses.
I know, it's like really
so
weird.
Weird.
But that's one of the cool things about it. And like we see like Tomska and Jack and Dean. Jack and Dean, not both of them went to the
not
University
both
of
them.
Lincoln.
Jack one Howard of, did.
Jack Howard did.
But they kind of come as a pair.
Yeah.
So it kind of, the both of them, I think the university likes to claim both of them.
If you haven't checked them out, do check them out to
create
Lincolnshire stars.
They're doing work on the BBC at the minute.
Yeah, and you know what? Support local, support your local celebrities.
Even though they live in London now.
Yeah, but they're from here. You know, they came to university.
They're not from here, they just, one of them went to university here, that's it.
But we made them.
Yes, yeah. If you ask anyone at Lincoln, sort of where the reason they're famous, not because they already had plenty of following before they got here.
So I tell you what, Maisie, we'll just carry on till the end of the show and we'll talk a bit more about technological advances. Mm-hmm. Any more that are coming to mind for you?
Well, we talked a little bit about AI.
Yes.
And this is something I find really interesting is since I got a new computer, I've been wanting to get The Sims 4 because I love The Sims games. But it was something that I realised because I've watched a couple of people playing it online and stuff, is that the AI element of The Sims is getting more and more lifelike and it's really freaking me out.
All right.
Because it gets to the point where you forget that, for a short period of time, you forget that they're not actually real little people inside your computer. Because looking at, like, the original Sims games, they're so robotic and it's really clearly a computer program. But Sims 4 has developed so much that it's really hard to distance yourself from them.
Yeah.
And not to look at them as if they're almost real. And it depends how you play. Like, if you're the kind of person who likes to destroy everything, then it's probably harder to get attached. But I got really annoyed because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Because it has got really good AI.
I mean, video games, even because they're advancing so much, it is becoming more expensive because it's becoming more expensive to make them.
Well, this is the thing. Like, before a decade or two ago, playing video games wasn't considered a viable hobby. It was considered a waste of time.
Yeah.
And
it was seen as very geeky.
It still is, but that is one of these things where sort of geeky culture has become more normalised.
A bit more mainstream,
but not in a bad way.
No.
Because that's the one thing. I hate it when people say mainstream is bad. It's not necessarily always a bad thing. Making something that you like more popular just means that you have more people to talk about it with. Like Game of Thrones, for example, is considered really geeky, but it's also an absolutely phenomenal drama that most people have watched at some point or another and have formed an opinion whether they like it or not. And if it wasn't mainstream, then there'd be so much less people to talk to about it because people were still invested in the books, but the books actually started a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's really weird to think about that, is that the books have been around since the early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
And Game of Thrones alone is a phenomenon. But that's another thing, is the technological advancements in television are amazing. And I'm trying not, because we've only got a couple minutes left, so I don't want to go into it too far. But basically, it's getting to the point where some academics are debating whether television is surpassing film when it comes to technological advancement, because TV always has to adapt and change. TV is always has a bigger market too, because they're cheap, because TV is cheaper to make. I mean, you do get your big sort of Game of Thrones type dramas that take millions, but for the most part TV shows only take a couple hundred thousand to make rather than millions and billions.
Yeah.
If I'm accurate, I might be completely off ball. But, like, technological advancements in TV are getting so much more impressive than film.
Yeah.
And film has some technological advancements, but not nearly as much and not nearly as quickly.
No, I mean, and then we look at, like, online on-demand services like Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Well, everything,
they're getting a lot more money to be able to put behind them to be able to do things. Look at the Grand Tour. Which, you know, you're not a big fan of Jeremy Clarkson.
My own personal opinion doesn't take away from the fact that it's been a triumph so far.
And it has actually had rave reviews. The first episode, I've watched the first 40 minutes of the episode and then I fell asleep.
There's a fantastic article in the Lincolnite, isn't there, about why Jeremy Clarkson's wearing a University of Lincoln hoodie.
Yeah, he's wearing
it. So I would definitely recommend that, and I'm sure we'll link it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was actually written by our very own Liam O'Dell from
Siren FM.
Which
might be why I mentioned it.
But it was brilliant to see him wearing a University of Lincoln hoodie. And actually, in the Grand Tour, the quality of, because it's all been filmed in 4K.
Yeah, this is the thing. I love the fact that 4K has become more readily available.
And it's more like, and one of the reviewers said this, I think it was The Telegraph that said it's more like a movie than...
This is a really interesting idea. And I know what you're talking about. It's called, some people refer to it as cine-telly.
Yes.
It's cinematic television. It's television that's filmed in a cinematic way. And the difference is that because our television screens are getting bigger and more widescreen, it means that we can do wider shots.
Yeah.
Because in the original days of television, the reason why you get so many really close-up shots of people's faces isn't necessarily because we want to see the emotion. It's because television screens were so small, if you didn't zoom in, no one could see what was happening. So wide shots were very rare.
Yeah.
Whereas now you can do super huge, like drone shots, and it looks fantastic. But it's not just places like Amazon Prime that have 4K ready. A lot of YouTube channels actually have been working on 4K for years.
And now it's just becoming... It's the next step in television and film. Mm-hmm. And we are coming towards the end of today's show. We'd like to thank you all for tuning in to Sunday Breakfast Squabblebox. Make sure that you stay tuned in to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, because there is plenty more coming up throughout the day. There is Tracy Edgers coming up at 10 a.m. very, very shortly. She's going to be with us for the next 2 hours as she asks you the quirky questions and plays some great, great tunes. That coming up today then at 12 o'clock is a brand new show here on Siren FM. 12 p.m. till 2 p.m, Siren Replay with Ed Wellman. Ed's back. Ed used to have this slot, actually, for Sunday Breakfast.
Did he?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. He was the last host of Sunday Breakfast before we took over.
Oh.
So Ed's back on Sundays 12 till 2 with Siren Replay, playing some of the best of Siren FM from the last couple of days. Then we have 2 p.m. till 3 p.m. Take to the Stage, 5 till 7 p.m. Sorry for the Inconvenience, 7 till 9 p.m. we're going back to the 90s, and then finishing off the evening, 9 p.m. till 11 p.m. is Native Radio. Some fantastic, fantastic shows.
We always have such a busy Sunday.
Coming up, yeah, we do, definitely. But it's the end of today's show. Thank you very much for tuning in to myself, Kai Valentine, and...
myself, Miss Maisie Anderson, as I have to be referred to now.
I knew you were going to say Miss Maisie Anderson. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and stay tuned to Siren FM.
Like your radio local? Tune in to Siren FM 107.3.